sermon for the prodigal son. I'm going to say, let's hear it for the other son. I want you to listen, because you've never heard this application, I doubt, applied to this scripture. Father, bless us now in this hour as together we think of this son who's been so maligned and I think sometimes falsely accused. Bless us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn me down about that much, please. We all know about the prodigal son. We all know about the story of his leaving his father and going into the far country. We have heard innumerable sermons about his spending all and about his finally ending up in the hog pen. We have long known from childhood about his feigned filling his stomach with the husk that the pigs and hogs were eating. The smallest child knows every detail about his return. When he came to the end of the rope, as you always do in sin, and as he stopped and said, the servants in my father's house are having it better than I am, and I will arise and go to my father. All of us have heard often the teachings and preaching concerning the father's welcome of the son home. We all know of the fatted calf that was killed, of the feast that followed. We all know of the ring that adorned his finger, and the shoes, the new shoes that covered the feet of the prodigal who returned. We know of the robe that graced his back. All of us know of the party and the merriment, and the singing and the dancing that followed as they welcomed the prodigal home and rejoiced because of his return. And then when we preach on the prodigal son, after we bragged on the father, after we've deified the son who spent all his time and life and money and riotous living and wasted his life on harlots, then we usually take in closing 3 minutes to sneer and speak of the mean old brother who stayed at home and maligned the fellow. I want to ask you a question. How would you feel if all of your life you'd been faithful to your dad and all of your life you'd been obedient to your parents? And all of your life, you'd been honorable and worked hard. And then you had a brother who left home, took his possessions, spent them all, lived with the prostitutes and the harlots and ruined the family name, loafed on the money that you had made him while you had worked. While he was lying in some luxurious hotel somewhere, you were getting up in the morning before daybreak going out in the field. While he was turning over for the first time, having room service to his hotel room for lunch, you were baking neath the noonday sun and heat of the sun on some farm field somewhere. How would you feel if you had stayed faithful and while you came in weary and of toil at night from laboring all day in the hot summer fields, you realized that your brother was just beginning his evening with a part of the money that was yours that you had helped to make. And day after day and week after week and month after month and yea, year after year, it was like this. And all of a sudden that scoundrel that had stolen from you came home. Lived his life in riotous living, wasted his money on harlots and wine, women and song. And then all of a sudden he comes home. A big feast is thrown in his honor. The best robe is placed on his back. A lovely ring is placed on his finger. A party is thrown in his honor. All the neighbors come. Hey, he's home. The prodigal's come home. How would you feel? You would feel exactly like this fellow felt. You would say, good night. Nobody ever had a party for me. Nobody ever put a ring on my finger. Nobody ever put any shoes on my feet. Of course you'd feel this way. This morning I'd like to rise in defense of this fellow and speak for a while on the subject. Let's hear it. For the other son, he looks at his finger and he sees no ring. He looks on his back and he feels no robe. He looks to his feet and feels no sandals. He looks to his memory and remembers no party. He hears no music. He hears no dancing. Nobody seems to be rejoicing because he stayed there all through those years. I contend that there should have been a party for him. I contend the father should have had sometime a big party and said, "Neighbors, let's come together. I've got a son that never tasted liquor. I've got a son that never ruffled unholy skirts. I've got a son that never took the needle in his veins. I've got a son that stayed beside me. I've got a son that worked every day. I've got a son that was loyal and faithful. I have a son who was obedient. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Put a ring on my son's finger. Put some new shoes on my son's feet. Put the best robe on my son's back. My son has always been here. He's never left. And I want to have a party in honor of my son." I'm afraid we make too much to do sometimes about the prodigals that come home, and we do not make enough ado about those who believe what we say and practice what we preach. Miss O'Clair said something a while ago that I think is a stroke of genius. So coming from him, I was surprised. By the way, I want to say this. The close of this school year, the men who head our schools, I stand with a salute and gratitude to these men who lead in our schools. We do not know what God has given us here in these men. Mr. O'Clair, Mr. Lively, Mr. Staub, Mr. Moffitt, and Dr. Evans. My, what good men these fellows are. They're like my own beloved brothers, and how sweet the fellowship has been this year. But Dr. O'Clair said this morning, I told the men in the office, I'm preaching this morning on Let's Hear It for the Other Son. And Dr. O'Clair said, "Preacher, that's one reason why every Monday..." There's a little ring. Turn me down, please, about that much. A little ring this morning. "Every Monday," he said, "I bring two of the best kids in the school to my office." For he said, if I didn't do that, I would only get to know the worst kids. Just the ones in trouble. And I got thinking about that after you said that. That's a marvelous thing, really. That honestly, that's a stroke of genius. Really it is. I got thinking. The kids over here that probably I know the best are the ones that have been in the most trouble. And I'll be honest with you. I am so proud of some of these kids over here who've overcome difficulties and who've gotten trouble and have overcome it and come back and recaptured the position they once had and regained the ground they once lost. I could not tell you how proud of them I am. But I could not tell you how proud of those I am who never wandered away. Those who stayed at home. And I think there's some justifiable jealousy. Okay, so you shouldn't be jealous, but good night, who wouldn't be jealous? Here's a fella whose hands are calloused with the handle of the plow. Here's a fella whose shoulders are drooped with a toil of working on a farm. Here's a fella whose eyelids are dreary or sleepy from a little sleep because he's done all the chores by himself. His brother should have been there at home helping him. There he is, day after day, doing all the milking of the cows, doing all the chopping of the weeds, doing all the gathering of the eggs, doing all the slopping of the pigs. There he is, doing all the work, all the chopping of the wood, all of it. Now this brother who's done nothing for years, wasted the substance and not helped at all, comes in. I'm glad. I think there ought to be a party. But let me tell you something. Let's have a party for those young folks over here and many others around this room. Let's have a party for those who could say, "I've always been here." Let's have it for the other son. Now, notice three things. The first thing he said, "These many years do I serve thee." Notice now, he didn't say, "These many years did I serve thee," or "These many years have I served thee," but "These many years do I serve thee." He's still serving. He served all through those years. He's serving now. He served that very day. He's going to continue to serve. And he said, "Father, why the music? You never killed a kid for me. You never gave me a robe. You never gave me a ring for my finger. You never gave a party for me. The neighbors never congregated for me. Why didn't I get some attention?" I'm not sure that's the kind of spirit he ought to have had, but I'm sure that's the kind of spirit I'd have had. And I'm sure that's the kind of spirit you'd have had. And I feel with all of my soul that we ought to give attention, not just to those who go in deep sin and come back. And though I thank God for that, and there are half a dozen young folks this morning in this room right now, if you'd walk down this aisle and get on your knees at this altar and get right with God and give your life back to God, I'd shout praises to God and take my shoes off and say glory to God and clap my hands in holy hosannas and shout all afternoon and cry my eyes out for joy. If there are six of you at least in this room this morning for whom I have prayed and whom I love and whom I am waiting to come back to God and back to God's will. While we have a party for the drunkards who return, how about having a party for those who never tasted liquor? How about having a party for those whose lips have never curled around the bottle? How about having a party for those whose hands have never taken the cocktail glass? How about having a party for those whose feet have never walked an unsure step because of drunkenness? While we're having a party for that one, and well, we ought, that one that comes back from the hog pen and say, "Glory to God, he's back. Hallelujah, he's back." Why don't we also say, "Hallelujah, he never left"? Let's hear it for the other son. Have a party for the addict who's delivered. Have a party for him whose arm has been invaded by the needle. Have a party for him to whom to get high he has to take some kind of a shot or a cigarette or smoke some pot. When he comes back, and he says what everybody says when he gets back from the far country. The far country is not what it's cracked up to be. The Hollywood life is not what it's cracked up to be. The tavern life is not what it's cracked up to be. The dope life is not what it's cracked up to be. When he comes back and gets on his knees at the altar, and some godly Sunday school worker or some godly pastor kneels beside him, and tears mingle as the prodigal comes back. I've seen it many times as we praise the Lord and rejoice. Have a party for him. Bring out the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Praise the Lord for him. But buy two rings while you're there. Buy two pairs of sandals while you're there. Get two robes while you're there and get two fatted calves. And let's have another party. Let's have a party for the one who's never felt the cold needle in his veins. Let's have a party for the one who's never been on a high except a high for Jesus. Let's have a party for these clean, virgin, chaste young ladies I see this morning. Let's have a party for these fine, godly, clean, pure, decent Christian young men whose faces I view this morning. Kill a fat calf! Put the shoes on their feet! Put a ring on their finger! They never left. Have a party for the young lady who mothered a child. Have a party for the one who listened to the devil and the lures and temptations of a wicked man who stole their purity and stole their decency and stole their chastity. And not only that, but placed the seed of life in their womb. And they heard the sad news one day a baby was coming. They came to my office and told me the story, and we wept and we tried to reclaim their lives. And there are half a dozen young ladies in this room this morning. I could not tell you how proud of you I am. Young ladies who wonder where the baby is and how old she is and what she's doing and what color her eyes are and what color her hair is and if she's a good girl or he's a good boy or not. Who went into the jaws of death without a husband standing beside the bed. Went into the jaws of death to give birth to a baby they've never seen. And yet they came back, and by the grace of God and the encouragement of others, they came back and their lives have been reclaimed. Hallelujah! Thank God! Kill the fatted calf! While you're having a party, let's also have another party. Let's make as our guest of honor at that party that young lady who's never given her body to indecent hands. That young lady that'll walk the aisle as clean and as pure as she was the day she was born. That young lady who'll be a little awkward making love for a while because she knows not the ropes. That young lady who has not sold herself for a paltry little bowl of soup
or a few pieces of silver, or the applause of the applaudits of a heathen world. That young lady who said, I'm going to walk that aisle, and I'm going to be clean, and I'm going to give my groom a virgin body and a virgin mind. Let's kill a few fatted calves for those. Let's have some parties for them. Let's have it for the other son. Let's have a party for the one who's seen the far country, who's tasted the husk, who's lived with the swine, who slept with the harlot. This is not a new story. I'm going to tell you, but I feel I must tell you often because it's so typical of what I mean. There was a time in my ministry when I was given to having great testimonies come in. I can recall when I had a fellow named Bill Mills who had been a convict, actually had been sentenced to die in the electric chair and was sitting in the electric chair when he got pardoned, waiting to die a few moments later. Bill Mills got him an electric chair and took it around the country and got him a striped prison suit and took it around the country and sat down in the electric chair and gave his testimony about how God had saved him while he was in prison. We had a fellow named Freddie Gage preach for us. Freddie had been in dope, all kinds of dope traffic and illegal narcotics traffic and gone down to the depths of sin in some little hoodlum gang. And God had saved him, and I had Freddie come and give his testimony. There are others also. And I got enchanted with this. And I'll never forget the day Mrs. Hartsfield, one of the sweetest women I ever knew, the kind that sat in the service, if I ever want to be encouraged, I looked at her because she was always smiling and shaking her head. She had two sons, one named David and one named Carmen. Carmen was the oldest and David the youngest. One morning after church, she came down to me and she said, Pastor, could I speak with you for a few moments, please? And I said, yes, you may, Mrs. Hartsfield. What is it? And she said, Pastor, would you someday give your life story? And I said, Mrs. Hartsfield, what do you mean? She said, Pastor, I want you to tell your life story. I said, it's hard for you. My life story is, the worst word I ever said was golly. And Mama washed my mouth out with old soap for it. I never tasted liquor and never went with many girls at all. Never did anything what you'd call real bad. She said, would you tell that? I said, what do you mean? Nobody's going to come to hear a life story from the romper room to the pulpit. She said, would you tell it? And I said, why? She said, because I've got two boys. And she said, I don't want my boys to think that it's better to be in dope and get delivered than it is never to take dope. And I don't want my boys to think it's better to get convicted and go to the electric chair. She said, my boys are getting the idea that these folks that have these great testimonies have of being in deep sin. She said to me, the greatest testimony in the world is a testimony that they never went to deep sin. And she said, Pastor, tell it. I announced the next Sunday night I was going to preach on the romper room of the pulpit. I told about the nursery. I did one time knock my bottle over in the nursery and cry when I didn't mean to. Yeah, that's awful. But I always behaved in church. Never went ooh in church. And I told the story about my life. She walked up and she said, thank you, Pastor. Carmen, one of the cleanest boys I ever knew, is now a man. I guess Carmen must be now 45 years of age. For years been pastoring a church up near Washington, D.C. David's in his 40s. One of the cleanest young men ever met. For years has been principal of the Christian school down Heritage Christian School, Little Rock, Arkansas. Let's have it for those boys. Let's have it for those boys. Let's have it for those boys that never tasted liquor and never went into sin and don't know what the marijuana tastes like and never had any pot and never had any speed and never went out in the world and never stained the skirts of young women. Let's have it for those decent young ladies who walked across this platform this morning as pure as you'll find in the whole world. Let's have it for the other boy. You said, these many years do I serve thee. But something else he said. He said, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment. He said, Dad, everything you ever told me, I did. I never disobeyed you, Dad. I don't think the son came in. I said, I think I ought to have a ring too. I mean, he said, Dad, didn't you tell me to obey you? I never had a ring. I've been counseling some with Cindy. Hours and hours I've spent counseling with her. But those hours have been intensified in recent days because in 12 days she stands here and becomes a wife. I was trying to talk to her last week about marriage a little bit. I could not believe exactly how sheltered she's been. I could not believe that somewhere, maybe sometime, some magazine fell open where she saw some picture. I went to bed Thursday night rejoicing. Purity is still in style. Decency is still the thing to be, have. He said, neither transgress thy law at any time. Let's hear it for those who obey. Let's hear it for those who study. Let's hear it for the valedictorian. Those two fine young ladies stood up last Friday night. I could hardly contain myself. And I sat up here and the first thing I thought of is, why doesn't somebody stand up and cheer and holler? Somebody makes a basket, wins the tournament, we holler and cheer. I said to myself, as I listened to those young ladies, as Miss Leah finished hers and Miss Kenya had finished hers, they both had finished, I stood up here and I thought we ought to have some cheerleaders. We ought to have the high school band playing. Let's hear it for those who stayed in the field day after day. Let's hear it for those who made A's. Let's hear it for those that studied at night. And one of the greatest statements ever made from this pulpit was made last Friday night by Cindy Lael when she said, the secret to anything in life is doing your homework. Hadn't been a better statement ever made from this pulpit than that. Do your homework! Let's hear it for those. Let's hear it for those whose first kiss is their wedding kiss. And then there's a third thing he said. The father said, son, thou art ever with me. I like that crowd. Ever with me. That's a good sermon. Thou art ever with me. I watched the ushers come down the aisle, take the offering this morning. I got to pointing to those, to my son of mine, who've been here all these 20 years. Three of the four over here on this side, I think, been here all these 20 years. Thou art ever with me. Haven't there been other times when I've offended them when I shouldn't have? So many things I do I wish I hadn't have done. I kid a lot. This morning I wish I could take back the drop into that testament a while ago with a young lady. I love Tennessee Temple College, and I do things like that so quickly because I see funny things, and some people sometimes don't understand. But aren't there times when those people who stood here for 20 years have gone home and said, is he ever going to learn to preach? Or is he ever going to quit? Well, I think he had me this morning. Or he did me dirty, or mishandled me, or one of my family. Thou art ever with me. May I say this morning to you kids over here, and you over here, and all of you around this whole building, I don't care if you're 5 or 15 or 25, if you're students or young people. That's what we want for you. That's why your parents have prayed and worked. That's why your teachers at school have taught and done without. And that's why your Sunday school teachers have hoped and prayed and taught And that's why your preachers prayed and preached and dreamed. And that's why your youth workers have worked and planned. So it could be said of you, thou art ever with me. I'm going to say a word to this group this morning. The group that can say, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and about whom it is said, son, thou art ever with me. When you hear the music of the party for the prodigal, the one that all the time in school while you were doing right was doing wrong, and about a month before school was out, he got right. And we're happy about it. We're glad about it. We're going to rejoice, have a party. But while you hear the music, and while you hear the dancing, and while you notice the glitter of the ring that's been placed on his finger when you have none, and while you look from a bare back to him that has a new robe on him, and wonder why you didn't get one, I want to remind you something. Let the prodigal have his party. For the joy of the party of returning home cannot compare to the peace and contentment of a life that's clean. It's not as spectacular. It's not as loud. Folks don't cry as much, shout as much. Let the spot shine on him for a day. You settle for the peace of a clean life, the satisfaction of uninterrupted service, the serenity of being a part of the family, the good conscience of duty and work and obedience. I think I better warn those of you that have been in the hot field while others have been living it up. I think I better warn those of you who've been working out in the sunshine while others have been sleeping in the nicest of hotels and spending the money that's partly yours. We're going to keep on having parties for the prodigal to return. We're going to keep on seeing him come down these aisles and say, glory to God, they're coming back. But we must have one for those who believed us and have made us proud. Let's hear it for those young ladies who came in my office for senior appointments through the year. I wish you could see their poise. The people that say, Hammond Baptist High School isn't accredited. Trot your accredited kids out and let me show you some real ladies. Let your accredited kids come with their pants so tight, look like they're melted and poured in them with their yells and uh-huhs and yeah, let them trot them out. Let me show you an army of young ladies that came through my office this year, walking in like they were just graduated from a finishing school or a charm school, and sitting with grace and poise and charm. What are your plans? I ask. Brother Howes, that's why I want to talk to you. I'll do whatever you say, or whatever you and my parents say. And they sit there, lovely, know how to sit, know how to wear their skirts properly, know how to dress, know how to talk. Let's hear it for them. How about a fatted calf for them? And while you're shouting for those who finally come home, who've broken our hearts, let's hear it for those young men who walked into my office this year for senior appointments, masculine, but proper, strong, but courteous, big, but gentle, with strength, but beauty, with honor, but majesty. Finest young men you'll ever see. Trot out your accredited long hairs. Trot out your accredited hippies. Trot them out, if they can leave their needle at home long enough. And they can show you some real men. Decent, clean, pure, chaste, honorable, right, hardworking, masculine. Kill the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf for those deacons that sit on our board who grew up in our church. kill a fetid calf for those teachers that sit on our grade school, junior high, and high school faculties. Kill a fetid calf for them who grew up in this church. Yes, we'll party for the son who's drunk the last bitter drop of the dregs of sin, who's rubbed shoulders with the hogs in the hog pen, who's fed on the husk the devil gives for his dessert. Look at him coming! He's coming home! Let's have a party. But there's a guy out in the field who's been plowing all morning and all week and all month and all year, who's never left. Let's hear it for the other son. Our Heavenly Father.